Hello, everybody, and welcome back to episode number 44 of the Big Apple Sports Media Podcast. I'm Anthony Evangelist, and as always, I'm joined here by Kyle Keegan. How are you today, Kyle?
Doing great. Feeling good. My allergies have kicked in, so my eyes are puffy and my nose is runny. And we are 2 days away from the NFL draft, which is exciting because we haven't really talked much football recently, but we're going to get into it today, which is great.
Definitely, and we have a very special guest. Kyle, I'll let you introduce him real quick.
So today joining us, we have football maestro, draft mock expert, Staples finest, Bruce Beck Sports Broadcasting Camp alumni alongside Anthony and I, Max Dorsey. How you doing today, bud?
I'm good. What's up, boys?
We're great.
We're glad to have you on the pod, man.
Yeah, we're happy, man.
I'm excited.
Max is a Denver, Colorado sports fan, right? So, Max, so you give a little background about yourself here.
Yeah. All right. I was born in Denver. So, yeah, I grew up watching the Broncos. I was always just like mainly Broncos, always football. And then recently I've kind of branched out. So, started following the Avs, started following the Nuggets in the recent years, been big fans of those teams. And then last year was my first year really following baseball because it was the first sport back. So I did take a New York team. I decided to become a Mets fan, which I regretted instantly, but yeah. It's been a rival. Yeah.
Well, you can't pick the Yankees, dude. If you pick the Yankees.
Yeah, I know. Exactly.
I'm a Yankees fan, born and bred. So like, it's fine. But if you're like picking the Yankees, like I respect the move. I respect becoming a Mets
fan. I got a couple of buddies that are Mets fans. So we've been suffering together. It's been fun.
It's very tough being a Mets fan.
I was rooting hard for you guys tonight. And you lost to the Red Sox. Just getting
down
by Garrett Richards.
Yeah.
Brutal.
Another great pitching performance with zero hit in.
I mean, dude, that's just been the story. I know we're not talking baseball today, but like New York baseball offense down bad. Like the Yankees and Mets are scraping the barrel right now with hitting. The Yankees won tonight, but like they had 12 hits and only 5 runs. Like that's not a great ratio, but whatever. Nonetheless, we're talking football. We're talking football. And 2 days till the draft, which is exciting. In less than 48 hours, Zach Wilson will be a Jet, and we don't know who's going to the Giants. So that's probably what we're going to talk about a lot. So
let's just get right into that real quick. So we'll start with Jets and Giants, and then we'll expand past that. But Jets and Giants have a lot of picks. Giants are a little tight on picks in the sense that they only have 6, right?
Yeah, we only have 6, but we made great moves in free agency. But which kind of sucks because I feel like Gettleman, the only thing he does half decently is kind of like get like little diamonds in the rough that become good like role players for the Giants. He did it a bunch last year. Like we have a bunch of linebackers that we picked up in the mid and late rounds that just kind of became contributors on the Giants defense. So it kind of stinks to only have 6 picks. But I'm really only focused on that first round pick right now, to be honest with you.
That makes sense. So, yeah, let's just start off. So, obvious first pick is going to be Trevor Lawrence for the Jags. That was something that hurt me at the beginning of – or the end of the season more like, but I've kind of gotten used to it now as a Jet fan. So, right now, it's almost guaranteed that the Jets are going to pick Zach Wilson. I really don't see them going anywhere else. If this is the right choice, I'm not really too sure. Look, I think that it would have been smarter to trade down – get a decent amount of draft capital and hold Darnold for another year. But in terms of if the Jets see this much in Zach Wilson, then he better perform. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Zach Wilson's a guy that I have extremely high. I actually think that there's a solid chance that in the long run, he could be better than Trevor. When you talk about Trevor, he's the safest pick in the class, right? He's going to come in with a really high floor, probably be a top 15 quarterback right away. But Zach Wilson is the modern day NFL quarterback, that Josh Allen type, that Russell Wilson type. Even, you know, you see the name Patrick Mahomes thrown out there. So the ability to throw off platform, throw on the run, improvise plays. I think he's a really fun player. And I think it is the right pick for the Jets. And, you know, the 49ers, when they were trading up, even offered the Jets a similar package with 3 first rounders. They said no, they're all in on Wilson. So I'm excited to see what he can do in New York, Anthony.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I just want to ask you this question while you're here. What do you think of Justin Fields in terms of comparison to Zach Wilson?
Yeah, so Justin is like getting a lot of shit right now. I just think he's a great football player and kind of like Trey Lance, the other quarterback in this class, has a really high ceiling, but the floor really isn't there right now, which is why I think Wilson and perhaps even Mac Jones might go over him. So Justin Fields, while he's a really, really good football player, there are some concerns with the processing. He's coming from a really simplified offense in Ohio State. So I think he will fall, but probably not outside the top 10.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, look, before I did a decent amount of research into this draft, before there was the hype around Zach Wilson, before we really knew if Jets quarterback was going to be taken because of the whole Deshaun Watson thing. So we're going back a few months now at this point. I really thought that Fields was going to be the Jets guy if they didn't end up with someone like a Watson. But I mean, I think definitely
like Lawrence, not a Watson. Wait, what?
What? I definitely messed up the names there. But I thought that Fields would be it if Deshaun Watson never got traded and that kind of thing. Uh-huh. So I now, like, going back, obviously it's very different, but I think that in terms of what I've seen, Zach Wilson is the correct pick for the Jets. And
yeah,
obviously, like, you're not going to be able to tell until a few years down the road, hopefully a little earlier than that, depending on how well he plays with this team. But I think for the second pick, the best possible option right now, obviously they're not going to trade down, it's a little late for that, but I think that it's going to end up being a solid pick in Zach Wilson.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, so
I have a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
So we were talking about Justin Fields dropping, and I know this doesn't necessarily have much to do with like New York here, but like I have two actually, and they're both about quarterbacks. I think we're talking quarterbacks right now. Third, do you think that the San Fran is kind of like bluffing with Mac Jones? And second, you think that they're actually big on Mac Jones?
Definitely.
Well, this is the thing, right? So it came out, I think, 2 days ago that they already nixed Justin Fields is between Trey Lance and Mac Jones. And Trey Lance has an extremely high ceiling. Only he has started 13 games in college, which is his only concern right now. But I mean, if he played this year and played at the level that he played at before, he might be the second quarterback taken off the board. It sounds like the personnel department and like the scouts are high on Trey Lance in San Fran, but it sounds like Shanahan's really high on Mac Jones. And I think when you have such an offensive minded coach, you're going to go with what he wants, especially when that offense has been successful in the past. So I think Mac Jones will be the pick at three.
Yeah, I mean, also, what was I going to say? Trey Lance is kind of like, he seems like a big boomer bust, kind of like Carson
Wentz
5 years ago. And my second thing is there any chance New England trades up for Justin Fields? Because I've seen a lot about that.
I think that's definitely possible. I think that really if there's any quarterback up around like the 10, 11, 12 spot, New England will definitely try to make a play on them. I feel like at that point there's going to be at least one still available, whether that be Fields, Jones, Lance, that kind of thing. But I could definitely see the Patriots either taking someone like that by trading up or even taking a dark horse in round two or three. I'm not too I didn't do too much research on some of the quarterbacks past like the top five or six or seven, whatever. But I could definitely see the Patriots taking someone in one of the early rounds and trying to groom him into trying to be another late round steal that Belichick can grab.
Trading up. I don't know.
I agree with that, Kyle. Like outside of the top three, you have Atlanta, who's picking at four, who could take a quarterback, but probably
ups go Pitts.
Pitts, yeah. And then the Bengals aren't going to take a quarterback. The Dolphins aren't going to take a quarterback. The Lions aren't going to take a quarterback. The Panthers could take a quarterback. There's been some rumors about getting someone in there with Darnold, but probably won't. And then the Broncos are the next team. So if the Patriots wanted to trade up seven or eight, I think that's certainly a possibility.
Definitely. No, I think that, I mean, going to you with the whole Denver fan, whatever, I really think that the next team up besides the ones in the top three, I think that it's going to be Denver. Atlanta doesn't have any real need right now. Matt Ryan's still got a few years left in him. So I really think it's between Denver, New England, and potentially another random team that I'm just completely forgetting right now. I don't think Carolina will take one.
I think New England's going to – New England could trade to the Giants pick too, which is something I saw. I don't know. Gettleman hates trading down, so.
It really just depends, like, if there's any other movement, because, like, Chicago could be a dark horse to trade up. Football team could be a dark horse to trade up. So, like, if one of those teams makes the move, or even if Atlanta makes it goes for the quarterback at four, then I think we'll see, like, a big trade from a New England or a Denver. But for right now, I think how the board is, I think New England, maybe with the Lions, makes a lot of sense. Then, yeah, if they keep falling past even Denver, then the Giants are in play, the Cowboys are in play, the Eagles are all in play to trade down.
It's interesting that Dallas, Giants, and then the Eagles kind of pick 1, 2, 3. So I'm going to ask you about the Giants pick now here, Max.
Yeah.
It kind of seems like the foregone conclusion that Dallas is going to be taking a corner. Is that correct? Or
yeah.
Yeah.
It should be Surtain, could be Horn.
I was going to say, it's going to be Surtain if he doesn't go to like Carolina, maybe. That's another place I've seen him. But I'd assume Surtain is going, and if not, Horn. So let's say Slater's on the board, Waddle's on the board, Smith is on the board, Parsons on the board. Somehow all four of them are still on the board at 11. Who are the Giants taking?
That's tough.
Because I've seen that Judge wants offense, Gettleman wants a pass rush, and I just pray to God it's not Gregory Rousseau.
Yeah, no, it's not going to be Rousseau. I'll tell you that much. I'll tell you that for free. It's not Thank Rousseau. You. I think Rousseau could end up falling to the second round. He should be like a late 20s guy. But I think if I were in the position, I'd take Devontae Smith, and here's why. Because the Giants did well in free agency, and I'm not a Kenny Galladay hater. I think he's a fantastic football player. Still doesn't create separation all that well. He's great with the jump balls, can go up and get the contested catches. Sterling Shepard doesn't create separation all that well.
He's a slot receiver at best. And yes, when he performs at his highest is when he has a receiver like he had in Odell Beckham in his rookie year that he can play off of. And I'm going to just to like kind of steal your point here. I would say I'd be happy with Smith and I'd be happy with Slater. But I'll say Devontae Smith as Anthony's camera finally turns on.
Yeah, finally.
Because at that point, the Giants could have a receiving core with Galladay as your go-up-and-get-it, 50-50 ball kind of guy, big, strong receiver. Then you have Devontae Smith as your fast, could break out an open play, like run-after-catch kind of guy, and then Shepard's in the slot, all reliable, red zone threat, blah, 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 blah. Is that what you're kind of seeing as well with the Giants?
Yeah. Yeah, it very well could be, because Waddle's probably one of the most dynamic players in class. And, like, I'm not, like, the biggest Daniel Jones fan, but I still have faith in him. But the fact of the matter is he's kind of inaccurate. So you need a guy that can have a big catch radius and create separation. And right now the Giants don't have that. So even if Slater is still on the board, I still think if Smith falls to you at 11, you got to go Smith.
Yeah, you know? And also just for the sheer point of taking him ahead of Philly, which was my original point.
Yeah.
You don't want Devontae Smith to end up in Philly even after they trade down.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to ask you this, Max. What do you think of Virginia Tech corner Caleb Farley?
Caleb Farley is tough because, like, talent-wise, he's probably a top-10 player in the class. But anytime you have a player having a back injury, especially a back surgery this close to the draft, concerns are going to be raised, right? So he's going to fall. I'd say Titans at 22 could be a spot for him. Steelers at 24 could be a spot for him. Again, it's a huge risk, but it's also could be like the biggest reward of the draft if you do take the risk of the back injury. So I'm a huge fan of the talent, but the injury is a concern for GMs.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with Anthony's kind of assessment there. I think the Jets probably do go defensive back with pick 23 if it's not getting traded.
Yeah.
So if Caleb Farley is available, I really...
What about Greg Newsom?
Greg Newsom's got great length. And, physicality as well. He can play press man. He can play off-the-ball zone. A really good corner. I think that 16 to the Cardinals is actually more realistic over Farley there.
All right, what about... So Farley or Asante Samuel?
Farley.
Farley? Okay, I agree with that. Okay. I'm just throwing out names at this point, but...
Okay, so I'm just going to go into... not into depth, but... Going to that pick 23 for the Jets, so where it's pretty much any prospect on the board for pick two, except for Trevor Lawrence, of course, there's definitely a lot more at stake for this 23 pick, solely because we don't really know who's going to be available at that time. I mean, from pretty much 11 to 22 is just a complete toss-up where it could be really anybody. There's no real, like, set spots where we've had in the past. So I think, like, look – I think that the best case scenario for the Jets is for offensive tackle Elijah Vera Tucker to slide all the way to 23. I don't know how possible that is because he is getting a lot of hype by these different teams. But if he's able to get to that 23 spot, I think that it's a no-brainer. The Jets should pick him. He'd fit right onto the line. They probably move him to offensive guard, left guard. And I think, I don't know about you guys, but seeing Mekhi Becton at left tackle, Vera Tucker at left guard, and then a newly renovated Jets line, hopefully over the next year or so, I would be scared of that. That would be a very solid line, I'm pretty sure, hopefully.
Yeah, Vera Tucker's got great versatility. He played tackle for the most part at USC, but a lot of GMs want him to play guard in the NFL. For the Jets to get him, two things would have to happen. The Vikings would have to go defense and at 14, and the Dolphins would have to go defense at 18. And then I think you have a really solid shot of him falling to 23. I mean, the Colts could be in play, the Bears could be in play, and the football team would be in play, but they want more of a pure tackle. Well, like you said, Vera Tucker could slide into guard. So I think it is a real possibility, but I think this is also like what's so fun about mock drafts, because like you were saying, like pass pick maybe three in this draft, no one knows what's going to happen. So it's all like make-believe, and like you could mock what you want, but none of it's ever going to actually happen. So 23 is wide open right now. I think you could go edge. Azeez Ojulari could be on the board. Jalen Phillips could fall that far. So I think it's wide open for the Jets. They have a bunch of needs, but I think they really can't miss here.
And then same thing. I mean, like, I feel like there's a decent amount of offensive tackles in this year's first round where you're going to have obviously Penei Sewell in the first 10.
I think he'll be in the first five. I think he's going to Cincy for sure.
I don't know. I feel like Cincy will go Jamar Chase, but that's another
call. Yeah, it's looking like Jamar Chase. I don't
know how you can pass up on Sewell there.
I think that Sewell's the smart option.
Believe me, if I was the Cincinnati GM, I would be taking Penei Sewell, but it sounds like they're going to take Chase.
No, I mean, to me, the top six is pretty – like, you say past three. Like, obviously, like, we don't know. But to me, I'd be surprised if Pitts isn't in Atlanta – Sewell's not in Cincinnati, and Chase isn't in Miami. I feel like after that, it becomes much more of a crapshoot.
Yeah. I mean, the whole draft is. And, like, again, that's to me, like, that's why it's so fun, because, like, anything can happen.
Yeah, true.
You know, with the Jets, so going back to, like, that 23 pick, like, with the offensive tackles, so you have Sewell and Slater probably going first two. I think Christian Darrisaw is probably going to go also in, like, that 10-20 range. That could definitely
Yeah, he's solidified himself as OT three in this class.
And then from there, I mean, it's a bit of a toss-up because there's also people on the line like Tevin Jenkins. There's I'm trying to think of the guy's name. I don't remember, but there's definitely another few guys that are I mean, even like Creed Humphrey, honestly, can go first round. And you know what? Because Vera Tucker is more of a guard than a tackle, I mean, obviously he's a plug-and-play type dude, but I think that because of that, there's probably going to be a lot more demand for a tackle where there is a chance that he drops to 23. I don't know. I feel like that's best case scenario. If he's not there, look, the offensive tackles and the people in this draft in terms of line for first round are very valuable this year. But I feel like the Jets could get someone like a Caleb Farley at that spot as well. And you know what? I really feel like even – I don't know if he's going to drop or not, and I was going to talk about this after about potentially being the second pick of the second round, but someone like a Najee Harris from Alabama could be.
Ooh, that's a ballsy pick.
I don't know if he would.
I like Najee.
There's
a lot of buzz around Najee at 24, that's and then ETN at 30 to the Bills. So if the Jets are kind of like, hey, we don't want to miss out on one of these top two running backs, they could very well take Najee at 23.
And, like, honestly, I think that the Jets will take a running back at some point in the first three rounds. I don't think that it would be with the 23rd pick. I really feel like they'll go either line, edge rusher, they might even go Rousseau, or defensive back at that point.
Rousseau's going that late?
Potentially.
I think Rousseau's a second round pick.
Wow, how the mighty have fallen. He was like top 15 easily like a month ago.
Well, like, whatever happened, like, this is what happens.
I know there's like character questions, right? Like,
it's character questions. And also, like, people look at the 15 and a half sacks that he put up and they're like, wow, that's amazing. And then, like, they go in and watch the tape and they're like, wow, like, the technique really isn't there. There's a lot of stuff that he doesn't do. It's pretty sloppy play.
So, kind of like how a lot of people misread Isaiah Simmons, is what you're saying.
But like, I don't think Isaiah Simmons was even that misread. I just think the Cardinals misused him horribly last year.
Yeah, you're right.
No, and like, so we were talking about that 23rd pick. I'm talking about the 34th pick, the second pick of the second round. I feel like that could be an edge or a running back if the Jets end up with an offensive lineman, if they end up with Vera Tucker at 23. But I am going to say this. So as long as there's no trades or anything like that, and I think that he should fall to this point, I think pick 66 for the Jets, which is third round at this point, I think that's 100%, if he's available, is going to be Paulson Adebo.
I'm a Paulson Adebo guy.
Yeah, I think that he makes the most sense outside of people like J.C. Horn, outside of people like Asante Samuel, outside of people like Caleb Farley, solely because, one, he's kind of underrated in the sense that he is going to be dropping a decent amount. I don't know how far he'll drop. I don't know if he'll be he'll probably be a day two guy, regardless of spot. I don't know if that'll be round two, round three. But he's a very lengthy dude, and I think that he is someone that can be a dark horse in this year's draft.
Yeah, I mean, like, when you look at Stanford cornerbacks that have played for Robert Saleh, the first one that comes to mind is Richard Sherman, right? And I think Adebo, not comparing him to Richard Sherman, but has a lot of those same traits, mostly a zone cornerback, which Saleh loves. I think it's a really good fit for New York in the third round if they can get their hands on him. And then 23 and that second round pick as well, like you said, Javonte Williams could go at that spot if they don't take running back in the first round out of UNC. He's a really good running back. And then, you know, back at 23, I think you guys could go Azeez Ojulari, the edge rusher, Jalen Phillips, the edge rusher, even Jason Owe, the edge rusher, could all be in play at 23.
Mm-hmm. And like going back to 23, I feel like if Owosu is available, I feel like that might be a solid pickup. I don't know. I didn't watch too much tape on him compared to some of the other guys, but
I feel like he'll be, I don't know. I get the sneaking suspicion that he's going to be in Washington and they're just going to keep.
Yeah. I think that he'll be a football team though, but yeah. I think that he'll end up in Washington. I think that like around 19 is probably the best spot for him. And you know what? We don't really know in terms of trades and stuff like that. I'm hoping that there's a lot of trades because I'm really hyped for this draft.
I think there will be. I don't know. The way that things have went, like even early on, like a couple weeks ago with the whole Miami trading frenzy, it feels like there's just going to continue to be trades. Like I feel like New England's 100% trading up. I just get that suspicion. So I have a question now, just back to the Giants pick at 11 here. Max, what do you think the likelihood here is that like Smith and Waddle are on the board at 11? And because we kind of focused more on like Smith at that point, but if both of them are on the board, I've heard that the Giants are a lot higher on Jalen Waddle as an organization, even though Judge might be higher on Smith. So what can you tell me about that?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. I think one of them will be gone. Whether it, especially if Jamar Chase goes at 5, then I think definitely one of them will be gone.
Miami's going receiver. It all depends on if Cincinnati is also going receiver.
Yeah. I mean, Miami could even go Sewell at this point, especially after the Flowers trade. Right. They could also bring in Slater at 6.
Today, right?
Yeah. So I think the offensive lineman just became very much in play for Miami. Miami could also trade down with a team like Denver if Denver was that eager for a quarterback to trade up, depending on how the board falls. So I think the likelihood of them both being there is low. But if they were both there, I think it comes down to like both of them are tremendous receivers. Both of them are going to be good in the NFL. It's just like pick which one you want, right? Smith has got the best hands in the class, best consistency, really good after the catch.
Literally won great, the Heisman. So
yeah, at the wide receiver position. And then Jalen Waddle is just, you know, getting those Tyreek Hill comparisons. He can burn you downfield. So should I worry about
Jalen Waddle's health? Is that a concern?
No. I mean, like, it could be. It wasn't like a reoccurring injury. It was a one-time ankle break. So, like, he seems to be full strength. He came back in the national championship game and like played a few snaps, even though he was limping everywhere, which probably wasn't his wisest decision, but I still think you don't have to worry about him. And then the only thing that's knocking Smith right now is coming in at 166, which is concerning a lot of GMs.
He's small. And then at that point, the Giants would have two small receivers in Shepard and Smith. I know Smith is, he's explosive. He's got great hands. He's fast. He can break out any play. He's a crisp route runner too. Like,
yeah.
He might be I think he might run. Do you think he runs the best routes in the class, or would you still give that to Jamar Chase?
I'm giving it to Elijah Moore, the wide receiver out of
all. All right. Okay.
I'm a big Elijah Moore guy. He's got tremendous route running, great hands, great separation. I put him right in the group of the top four. I put him right with Smith, Waddle, and Chase. Elijah Moore.
Okay. Okay, so I have another question for you, but it's not about the Giants or the Jets. So obviously we know your Denver Broncos are picking at 9. I've been seeing a lot of Micah Parsons there. I've been seeing some Slater. What are you thinking there for the Broncos with that pick?
I genuinely think if a quarterback named Trey Lance or Justin Fields is available at 9, Denver might trade out and not take the quarterback. I think when you talk about those are guys that are being said need to sit under quarterbacks for a year, you know, learn from the league. And Denver doesn't really have anyone to teach them aside from Drew Lock, who isn't really, you know, panning out in the NFL. So I think Denver might trade back and then go Parsons. I think that's definitely a possibility. I would love to go quarterback. I'm not a Drew Lock guy. If Trey Lance falls to us, that would be my like personal favorite pick. But I think trading back and getting Parsons would probably be the most likely scenario for Denver.
Okay.
Yeah, I could definitely
I'd say Parsons as well. Yeah.
100%. Parsons is extremely underrated. I feel like he could have gone like top five before all the projections and stuff like that. Obviously, none of the teams in the top five really have the need for him. But I really think that he's one of the most talented people in this draft. And I think that he'll be a very solid pickup for whichever team decides to draft him.
So, yeah, I've been seeing some Parsons to the Giants, and it's not like I don't want to add another great player. I just feel like the Giants need offense.
Yeah, Giants have needs, really.
Yeah, there are some character issues there as well for Parsons.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, for me, it's just like I see that the Giants had, like, in the second half of the season last year, like a top eight defense, and it makes me think, like, if you're in the first round, why not? You got to add to the second worst offense in the league last year. I understand you brought in Galladay. I understand that Saquon Barkley is coming back from an injured year, but we don't know how he's going to be, especially under the Giants offensive line that hopefully will continue to develop. But I'll have a tough time with any decision of a defensive player at the 11th pick for the Giants.
That's very fair.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to hop into like a quick little 30-second rundown of the Jets later picks. Real quick, like just going into it. So I feel like just because of speculation and stuff like that, we already have like a decent idea of people that the Jets might be looking at. I'm going to start with going into like the fifth round. Jets have 146, 154, and 186. I don't know if those are all fifth round, but I know that I think with at least one of those picks, it's going to be Anthony Schwartz out of Auburn, the wide receiver. He's one of the most blazing guys I've seen this entire draft in terms of speed. I think that it'll be a really solid pickup if they're able to get him that late in the fifth round. I don't know if he's going to be your next wide receiver one, but in terms of someone you could put in the slot, in terms of someone that could beat his defender, I think it would be a solid pickup. I wouldn't be mad with that. And then something that's come out over the past 2 days was the Jets being interested in what's his name? It's the fullback. His name is Ben Mason, I'm pretty sure. And
Ben Mason out of Michigan?
Yeah, exactly. And it seems like the Jets are looking at him in like a Kyle Juszczyk type situation where they're trying to get someone late where it could be someone they could put and fill that position. And the Jets really haven't had a real fullback since Tony Richardson, which was probably – it was like a decade ago, if not more from there. I mean, they had people like Tommy Bohannon in like 2013, but that didn't really count. So it's been a while since the Jets have had a solid fullback on their team that makes an impact in terms of blocking and that kind of thing. And I feel like just looking at stuff from Ben Mason over the past 2 days, I didn't really hear about him before that, but over the past few days I've looked at a few things from him, and I really think that if the Jets are able to snag him – round 6, pick 226, I feel like that would be a really solid pickup for them.
Yeah, I'm a Michigan fan. I watch Ben Mason. He's a lot of fun to watch. And I mean, you have Mike LaFleur coming over, Matt LaFleur's brother, from that Shanahan coaching tree, probably going to run a similar offense to what Shanahan runs in San Fran. So I think you are going to see a lot of similarities, and bringing a fullback would help. And then, you know, Anthony Schwartz could be that guy that comes in on jet sweeps. Like the 49ers do a lot, can be that versatile player. I think he ran in the 4.2s. He's like an athletic freak. So got that track speed. That would be a sick pickup for the Jets as well.
So Kyle, I know you said you didn't put in like whatever, like you're obviously a lot more into baseball, whatever, but do you have any, like, sorry, I don't mean to like
insult. No, you're right. You're right. That's why I laughed.
Do you have any Giants late round tidbits or anything like that?
Well, I'll tell you what I'd want them to book up on, and you could tell me some prospects that, like, I could look out for. Like, last year I thought Xavier McKinney was an incredible early second-round pick for them.
Yeah, and he should pan out.
For three quarters of the year, but I'm excited to see what he does on a Giants defense that's looking to be very good next season. But some things I'm looking for the Giants to add up on. I know that typically it's not super easy to like book up on like offensive line depth in like later rounds, unless you're like catching some real diamonds in the rough. But some other things I'd love to see the Giants are go after some like linebackers, pass rushers, things that I think that like aren't exactly strengths, but they aren't weaknesses on the team. So I think that they're going to bulk up a lot on linebackers and pass rushers in like the later rounds. And then I wouldn't be surprised if they took like a third or fourth tight end just to add on to like Engram and Kyle Rudolph. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like I said, I want them to go offense first round. So I feel like I wouldn't be surprised if they bulk up on like their other five picks being like four of them defense, you know? And I don't know what kind of deal they're going to make to get more picks this year. Like, we don't know.
Yeah, and it's like a weird year because the combine didn't happen and there's a lot of like red flags medically and like there's not a lot of confirmation about those red flags. So we could see a lot of teams trade back and try to get more value for next year's draft. But when you're talking about late round edge guys, I'm a big Chris Rumpf guy out of Duke. He's 6'3", 225. He's probably best fit at playing outside linebacker rather than defensive end. And I think you guys are in a 3-4 in New York. So that makes a lot of sense for the Giants. 3-4. Yeah. Ronnie Perkins could be a third round guy for you guys. Another guy that's 6'3", 251, got that outside linebacker mold. Quincy Roche could even be a third round guy. Peyton Turner out of Houston's another guy that I really like. So there is good edge depth in this class. And then there also are a lot of guys that are, you know, kind of played for a while in college football, have high floors coming in at the offensive lineman position. I think Tommy Kramer out of Notre Dame could be a late round gem. Trey Smith out of Tennessee.
Those Notre Dame offensive linemen always good. Always ready.
And then one of my favorite prospects in this class is I'm blanking on his name. Let me find Jackson Carman. Oh no, sorry, not Jackson Carman. He's out of Cincinnati. James Hudson, the offensive tackle out of Cincinnati, a really, really underrated prospect. He's, I think, could be a steal in round four or maybe even three.
Okay, so those are some good names to look out for then. I mean, yeah, like I'm excited to see what the Giants do. Like I said, I'm pretty hung over this. 11 is such like a purgatory pick, it feels like. You know what I mean? If you're in that like 8 to 14 range, like, you know, like you have the potential to strike with like great value, great talent right off the bat, but like you're not in the top five or, you know, you're going to get an immediate impact player like immediately or for sure, if you know what I mean.
Yeah,
there's a lot can happen. There can be a lot of trades. I'm worried about New England trading. I'm worried about, I don't know, like I wouldn't be surprised. A weird one is like Chicago trading up. I don't know. Like we'll see. Or not Chicago, Minnesota trading up. That's what I meant to say.
I just want to say this one thing. I think that the fact that the Giants were able to hold on to Leonard Williams is so important.
He was great last year.
Well, just in like, obviously I feel like they paid him a little too much, but
well, they had to. That's how you have to do it on the market. Like everyone gets overpaid. And I say that in air quotes, like,
but no, I just want to say in terms of
Patrick Mahomes is overpaid and he's the best player in the league.
In terms of depth for this year's draft, in terms of people on the line, I know that Leonard Williams isn't a defensive tackle and you guys lost Dalvin Tomlinson, whatever, but
yeah,
there's really no defensive tackle depth this year. Like I was trying to look at it. Like there's a really big fall off from like the first one or two to the rest of the draft. Like, I feel like this is the weakest defensive tackle class that we've seen in the past few years.
You're right. They had to
get Leonard Williams for more. Any of those 3-4 ends, like Leonard Williams plays, it's slim pickings in this draft. So it was a good move to hang on to him.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that re-signing, I mean, I was happy with it. I had a feeling it was going to get done. You know, he'll be wearing a C patch on his shoulder next year for the Giants, replacing that Dalvin Tomlinson role. I mean, the Giants defense, like I said, like they've got a lot of veterans. They got like Logan Ryan in there. He'll be a leader in the locker room kind of guy. Jabril Peppers really had a breakout year last year. Obviously Leonard Williams did as well. Look out for the linebacking core. A lot of young guys in it last year to continue to develop. And as I say that, their leader, Blake Martinez, just was a stud last year. And then James Bradbury and Adoree Jackson. Like, Adoree Jackson's a big boomer bust kind of signing. And, you know, if that pans out, the Giants' secondary is going to be really good.
Yeah, so. I think the NFC East could be a really good division next year. As funny as it is to say.
I know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think the Eagles are going to suck. The other three teams.
The Eagles will definitely suck.
The Eagles are going to be really horrible. But the other three teams can definitely make the playoffs. I'm not saying like that. I wouldn't be surprised if two NFC East teams made the playoffs, especially with the seven 7 playoff teams in each conference now. I mean,
yeah,
I don't, I think it's going to be close between Giants, Dallas, and Washington all year. I mean,
I think Dallas is
dysfunctional. I think they have the most talent. They're just dysfunctional.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think it will be Washington and New York. And I think the Jets will be good too. I think what they're building there, I love their coaching staff and
brought in a couple of key players in free agency. Culture building guy. I think he's a smart, defensive-minded coach. I agreed. I think that's a great pickup for the Jets. So,
all right. Well, honestly, I feel like that's just about going to wrap up our draft preview real quick. I want to say thank you to Max Dorsey for coming on today. You got a lot of knowledge, and I'm glad that you were able to bring it here on the Big Apple Sports Media Podcast.
Well, he's a lot smarter than us.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me, boys.
You want to drop your socials real quick, Max?
Yeah. Subscribe to my YouTube Football Discussions. I just posted my final mock draft there if you want to check that out. I don't have an Instagram, so you can basically just subscribe to my YouTube. That'd be plenty. Thank you.
Awesome.
Sounds good. For us, I'm Anthony Evangelista on Instagram, AnthonyEV7 on Twitter. If you want to follow the pod's account, it's Big Apple Sports Media on Instagram and TikTok, Big Apple SP Media on Twitter. Kyle, I'll let you do your thing.
Oh, I thought you were going to do mine for me. I'll do it. As always, I'm at Kyle Keegan with the L is the one. That's Kyle and E Keegan on Instagram and Twitter. If you want to see me overreact about the Yankees and the Knicks.
I'll definitely have a live tweet reaction to both of the Jets first round picks.
You're gonna tweet? No way, bro. No way you're gonna tweet.
So yeah, definitely check that out.
Never tweet.
I do.
I want to take a video for the Instagram of you reacting to the Jets pick. I'll do it for the Giants pick too. I mean, we know it's gonna be Zach Wilson, but
Yeah, okay. Well, we'll see.
Foreman Mahomes is coming to New York, folks.
Well, we'll have a draft recap later. Maybe we'll have you back on, Max. But we'll figure that out. For now, though, thank you guys all for listening. We'll see you next time. Take care.
Next to the four seed. Thanks, guys. Love you.